you want to follow me in my text this afternoon, I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 3. It's a joy to be here. Appreciate your pastor. Appreciate your former pastor. Known your last two pastors. Love and appreciate both of them. Gospel preachers. In Galatians chapter 3, and I want to read beginning here in verse 10 down through verse 14. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, the blessing that God promised to Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Apostle Paul was attempting to beat these Galatians off the works of the law, self-salvation. He had come here and he had preached the gospel to them before this. They had received it. These self-righteous legalists had come down from Jerusalem, attempting to turn them from Christ back to the law. We're saved by Christ, but we must now be converted to the Jewish way of living, the strict lifestyle that the Jews lived, to be circumcised and to keep holy days and all of this. The Apostle Paul writes this epistle in an attempt to beat them off from the works of the law and to bring them back and to have Christ formed in their hearts, in their conscience. So he begins in chapter 1, there around verse 6, and he begins to do that, cursing all other gospels that is preached. And he continues all the way through this epistle, rebuking these false apostles, these false teachers that have come among them, and seeking to bring these back to the pure gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us four things here in verses 10 through verse 14 that I want to emphasize to you this afternoon. This is the gospel. And I say emphasize these things. So often we read so quickly. We read chapters and we should really read slowly and read words. And these four things I want to emphasize to you today will not only convict, if God be willing, the lost and make them feel and know their need of Christ, but it will make the believers, it will lead them to get a firmer grip upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So these four things that I want to give to you, first of all, in verse 10, it's this: the curse of a broken law. Where's society at today? They're under the curse of a broken law. And here's how the apostle says it. He makes this general statement here in verse 10. Look at it again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's just a general statement that he makes. He said if you're seeking in any way, shape, or form to justify yourself before God, if there's one hair's breadth of your works wrapped up in your salvation, then he said you're cursed. He doesn't get particular. He says, as many. As many. A person may be a Catholic. He may be a Baptist. He may be a Church of God, a Church of Christ. But as many, whoever he is, as many as are of the works of the law, they are under the curse. But here in the last part of this, notice he gets more particular. Look how he says this. He proves this general statement by a scripture that he quotes over in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. Notice how he does this. The apostle is always proving his doctrine by scripture. Everything he received was by direct revelation. But he wants us to know the things that Christ is teaching him now no way contradicts the Old Testament scripture. So he says everybody that's under the works of the law are under the curse. And he proves it by scripture. But notice what he does when he proves it by scripture. He gets very particular. He don't say as many anymore. But look what he said. For it is written, cursed is every one. Everybody, each and every soul is cursed. He goes from as many to each and every one. Each person is cursed who does not continue in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now he's going to make us see these two reasons that it's utterly impossible for any man to be saved by works. He's going to give us two reasons, two proofs of that. Look what he says, first of all, in the last portion of verse 10. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do him. For a man to be saved by works, he must know what works that God requires him to do. Where would he go to find out what God requires him to do to be justified? He has to go to the book. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book. For me to be saved by works, I have to know what the book says I have to do. Is there anybody here this afternoon that knows everything that's required of a man to be saved? I'd say the best of us know very little of what God requires of him to be saved. But if we're going to be saved by works, first of all, we have to know. Cursed is everybody who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do him. I don't have any idea everything that God requires of a man. But if a man wants to know, this book tells him, doesn't it? And when we have knowledge of all things that's written in the book, there's something else required of us, and that is to do it. He first must know, and then, he says here, he must do it, or he's cursed. And this brings us to something else, doesn't it? Not only does a man have to have perfect knowledge, but I tell you, he has to have a perfect heart. He has to have a perfect mind. He has to have perfect affection. Perfect desires. He has to have a perfect will, a strong will. You remember that scribe that came to the Lord Jesus one day, and he asked the Lord Jesus what was the great commandment in the law. And the Lord said, it's this. Listen, he said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. To know what to do is one thing. To be able to do it as God requires is something else altogether. It would take a perfect trust, would it not? It would take a perfect love. It would take a perfect will, a strong heart, a strong soul, to do everything perfectly that God requires of you and me to do. Paul said it's impossible. It's impossible to know and then after you know, to do it with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It's not enough to have preferences, is it? It's not enough to have personal convictions. All of us have personal convictions. It's not enough to walk in the light that we have. That's not enough. It's not enough until we know from the book what God requires and then do it with all our hearts. I was reading Adam Clark. He lived a couple hundred years ago. He was a commentator. Armenian commentator. Rank Armenian. And I was reading him on 1 Timothy chapter 1 where Paul said, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. And Mr. Clark said, that meant, and this may be what it says, he said, it literally says, the law does not lie against a righteous man. The law is not against a righteous man, a believer. But then he gave his reason why the law was not against a righteous man. He said, because a righteous man never transgresses the law. Now, brothers, let me ask you, sisters, let me ask you just a pointed question. Do you break the law? Are you a lawbreaker? Have you loved God perfectly? Have you obeyed Him perfectly? Have you ever had a thought that was beneath His glory and His dignity? I would say this. There's not a one of us that have yet did that one time in our life. I tell you, I admire Adam. We look back as our first father came from the hands and breath of his Creator and how holy he was. There was a man that could do what God commanded him to do. God made him that way. But Adam failed in it. You and I are not what we used to be. We're fallen now. We live, we're born, and we live, and we die with these fallen natures. And none of us are capable of knowing and then doing what God commands us to do. I say unto you, I have never met a man that confessed and been honest about it, that not one time he reached this pinnacle that he loved God as God required him in His law to love. If you're here tonight and that's you, I tell you, you're a unique person. You're so unique that the Bible knows nothing about you. Because the Bible says all of us have sinned. There's not a just man upon this earth that doeth good perfectly and continually and never sins. And think of this. If we ever did reach this point that we could love God as the law commanded us to do, you have to continue. It's not enough to do it one time. Cursed is the man who does not continue every moment, every hour of every day, every year of his life. What if we could come to this point one time that we reach that place? We perfectly understand God and His will and His ways and His laws. And we reach that pinnacle with all our being and all our strength. We love Him. And we could continue that way. Let's just suppose we could do that. But what about all that life that we lived up until that time? What about all those sins that were following us? We're not what we used to be. And Paul said, listen, until you've reached the place that you've kept the law of God perfectly, he said, you can't be justified by it. And here you and I are, brothers and sisters, and looking around us at our co-workers. We listen to them on radio preach. We come and hear them in the pulpits. We talk to our neighbors, and you and I are surrounded with a humanity that is cursed under this broken law. Paul gives another reason in verse 11 why we cannot be justified by the works of the law. Not only because of the strictness of the law and our utter inability, but God never purposed to save a man that way. Some will say, if God had not purposed to save us by our good works, then why did He give us the law? Well, there's different reasons, but listen to what Paul said. Look in verse 11. But that no man is justified in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth these things shall live in them. He said it's impossible to be saved by religious works, by law keepers, because God intended all along to save through faith. We have a good example of that here in verse 6. Look in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Paul takes this quote from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. You're familiar with that. The Lord appeared to Abraham, and He said, Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm your shield. And Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me? What are you going to give me? I don't have a child. And the Lord said to him, He said, I'm going to give you a son. And I'm going to so prosper him that I'm going to make your seed, your posterity, as the stars of heaven. And it was on a clear night, and He said, Abraham, look up into the sky. And you see all those stars. If you can count those stars, then you can count your posterity. You can count your children. And you know what the very next verse said? Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed in the goodness of the Lord. He believed in the faithfulness of the Lord. He believed in the grace of His Lord. He believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted that to him for righteousness. And here Paul comes and said, that's the very way that God had purposed to save all along. And God sent His blessed Son and met all the demands of this law that was upon us and cursed us. And God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His right hand. And now God turns to us and He said, here is life. Here is salvation. Here is righteousness. Believe Me and be saved. And when we do that, we find out that's the very way God had purposed it all along. So first, what do we have? Men are under this broken commandment. They're under this broken law. And they're cursed. Don't that need to be emphasized in our day? I think that needs to be emphasized. We're fallen. We live among a fallen humanity. But God has not relaxed His requirements. A fellow called some guy to fix his roof, put a new roof on his house, and he come dog drunk. He come drunk. He drunk. Couldn't get up on the roof. That guy ran him off. What are you doing that way for? I hired him to put a roof on. But he's drunk. He couldn't. Was that my fault? Our inability does not excuse our responsibility. Oh, I'm fallen now. Why are we fallen? Sin. And God is not going to lax His standard, is He? If we're under the law, we're under the curse. Now, secondly, here's the second thing the Apostle Paul wants to emphasize to them, and it's this, the substitutionary death of the Son of God, bearing the curse of His people. Look in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In verse 10, we read everyone that's cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not. And then we see here the end of that curse. What's the consequences of not continuing in everything that God requires us to do? cursed on a tree. Cursed on a tree. You and I have not continued. So here Jesus, the blessed Son of God, hangs cursed in our stead. Here's what we earned. Here's what we deserved. To be cursed of God upon a tree. But now the Son of God, Paul tells us, He stands here and He suffers that curse. He endures that curse. Yea, He's made a curse in our place, in our stead. Well, I tell you, when you and I watch the Son of God come into this world from the womb of His mother, and we hear Him say, Lo, I come, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. And we watch Him as He grows up, 12 years old, and His heart is filled with the knowledge of God's will. 12 years old. I'm 62 and I know so little. He's 12 and He knew God perfectly. He knew what His Father had sent Him for. I must be about my Father's business. You're 12 years old. How do you know the Father's business? Because I know His mind. I know His heart. I know His will. I know Him perfectly. I know His law. I know what it requires. I know what kind of heart it takes to keep it. And you watch Him every step of the way as He lives His life, as He goes in and about, in and out among His family, doing His work until He begins His ministry and He begins to preach and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. And everything He does, every motive He had, every word He speaks, the Father looks upon Him and said, Oh, my Son, I'm well pleased in You. My heart is wrapped up in You. This is what I meant for humanity to be. To love Me, to honor Me in all their motives, in all their words, in all their deeds. And that's all He did all of His life. Oh, He knew the mind of God. He knew the will of God. And He lived it. Don't you admire Him? Oh, in His life. Peter, that knew Him better than anybody. He said, I'm telling you, there's no guile in His mouth. He knew no sin. He could not sin. He was the holy thing. From His mother's womb to the tomb, He was that holy thing. But you know, that's not enough, is it? That's not enough. Somebody had to bear the curse of that broken law. It had been offended. It had cursed because of disobedience. And now the penalty must be borne. That's what He's doing on the cross. That's why He's made a curse. He's made a curse for us. And there He hangs. And there justice stands before the cross with His sword drawn high, frowning upon Him. And the Son hides. And the angels flee. And the Father Himself turns His face away. And justice begins to examine. And what it finds is horrifying. With that omnipotent eye, it sees every sin of every age, of every elect person. And where does it find this sin? No longer on them. But it sees it in that one hanging on the tree. He discovers all sorts of sin. And what does He do? He begins to smite. He begins to smite. Oh, He finds Peter's sin of denial. He smites it. He punishes it to death. He searches until He finds that Samaritan woman's sin of adultery, and He smites it and He punishes it to death. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He groans. Oh, he says, my sin. Oh, you've known my sin. My foolishness. You know my foolishness. He takes this and he makes them his own. And justice says, you've owned them. Now stand responsible. And he smites him. And he smites him. And he smites him down until there's no sin left to be smitten. Justice searches out every crack and every crevice. Every sin that's been put upon the body and in the soul of God's Son hanging upon the cross. And justice smites until one tremendous blow, he kills the humanity of the Son of God. But just about the time he kills his humanity, the sword reaches his divinity. And he drops it to his side, dripping in blood, and says, I'm satisfied. There's no more wrath left in me. I'm satisfied. It's finished. I'll never curse again. The payment that I demanded has been paid, and it's been paid in full. Christ was made a curse. Oh, brothers and sisters, is that not so? Is there anybody that has any legitimate concerns about it all that's not satisfied? God is satisfied. The Holy Spirit is satisfied. Christ is satisfied. Saints in heaven is satisfied. Are you satisfied? Oh, he said, it's finished. Christ was made a curse. Christ was made a curse. Oh, who can begin to enter into the depths of that? Everything that we were, he was made. Everything that was ours became his. Everything we deserved, he bore it. Christ was made a curse. Well, thirdly, that leads us to this. A complete redemption from the curse. See what he says? In verse 13, the first part of that. Christ hath redeemed us. Brother Don said last night, when you read a statement like this, take it for what it says. And carry it just as far as your faith can carry. How far do we carry this statement, brothers and sisters? Christ hath redeemed us. Hopefully, maybe, we'll have to wait and see. Christ, by His being cursed, made it possible. No, that's where we get in trouble, isn't it? If He only made it possible, brothers and sisters, then take your free will. Take your works of the law. Do the best that you can. But if He finished redemption, if He accomplished redemption upon the cross, if every sin that He bore was punished in Him, then throw all your doing down and cast yourself upon Jesus Christ and say, He's done it all. He's done it all. I'll simply embrace His fullness in all my emptiness. He's done it all. I'm satisfied. Aren't you satisfied? Oh, you're satisfied. I can tell some of you are satisfied. It's on your faces. You just want to see Him more, don't you? Brothers and sisters, if I thought for a minute that Jesus Christ could be cursed for a man, then that man would be cursed too, I'd quit preaching. I'd quit preaching. If I believe for a minute that the devil in hell will lift up one single soul for whom Jesus Christ bore their sins, I'd be so ashamed to preach. Can you imagine the devil finding one soul in hell for whom Jesus Christ died? Oh, would he use him for a trophy? He'd hold him up. Look what I've got. Look what I've got. Don't just take the edge off, he would say. Oh, I've got one for whom the Son of God died. He bled, He shed His blood, and I got Him. I got Him. It'll never happen. Oh, the shame that would fill heaven. The tears that would be shed in heaven. There's something more important than our salvation. Did you know that? That's the glory of God's Son. Let me perish in hell before He'll lose His redeeming glory. And if He lost one for whom He died, we could not read this passage of Scripture. He hath redeemed us. He's not redeemed everybody, but He's redeemed us. Bless His name. Lastly, look at this with me. In verse 14, Paul tells us that every blessing flows to sinners through this redemption, through this blood. If sin was punished there at the cross, you know something? It's going to be forgiven in time. If sin was purged at the cross, and the Bible says it was, the conscience is going to be purged in time. Every blessing that God has for a poor elect sinner is going to come to that sinner through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he tells us in verse 14, when he says that Christ was made a curse for us, that He might redeem us from the curse of the law, then He tells us the reason, that the blessing that God promised to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And what is that blessing? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, if you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you've got every blessing. You've got every blessing. The seed of it's there, isn't it? He's the earnest of our inheritance. You can't have the Spirit of Christ and not be forgiven. You can't have the Spirit of life and not have the Spirit of Christ and not have life. You can't have the Spirit of Christ and not be justified, not be righteous. If you have the Spirit that bears witness with your spirit, you're children of God, then you're blessed. You're blessed. Look what he says in chapter 4. And I'll look at this and we'll close. Look in chapter 4 of Galatians. In verse 4, Paul goes back to what he's been talking about in chapter 3. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that's what we're talking about, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, 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 Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And look at this. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's the blessing. That's the blessing that's coming to all of God's elect, through the blood of Christ. We're made sons. We receive the Spirit of adoption. And because you're sons, you're heirs of God. The Father put everything into the hands of His Son. He said, I love my Son, and I've given everything unto Him. And the Bible turns right around and says that you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All that belongs to Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, belongs to you. Isn't that amazing? And it all comes through this precious blood. He paid for it all. He's the channel to which it all, you say, I feel so unworthy. We are unworthy, but that has nothing to do with it. He's worthy. And we're heirs of God. Can you imagine that? Just think on that. Heirs of God. Everything that God can make. And what can the all-wise God and Almighty God make? A new heaven and a new earth? What will it be like? Who knows? But you're going to inherit it. Everything that God can make is going to be yours. So freely through Christ. But you know, I think this means more than just inheriting everything God has. I think it means inheriting God Himself. Don read my scriptures last night. I had a bunch of scripture. He just kept on. I thought, well, he surely won't quote another one of them. And he just kept on quoting my scripture. Listen to this. Listen to this. The children of God will inherit God. Listen to Psalm 16:5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. My poor dad died, bless his heart. He left us and the kids everything he had. I can't speak for the rest of my kids, but it didn't take me long to spend all of mine. You inherit God. All that God is, that is all that He's able to communicate of Himself to you through His Son. Come thou unto the joy of the Lord. Inherit my joy. Filled with the joy of the Lord. Filled with peace. Filled with love. Can you imagine what it will be to be filled with the Spirit of God? I know what it is just a little bit for Him to bear witness with my spirit. I know what it is to be utterly weak and Him come to my heart and strengthen me. Give me strength to get by. And to just have a small amount of Him. The strength, the joy, the peace. What will it be like to be filled not only in your new soul, but a glorified body? To be filled with the Spirit of God. The fullness of God. To inherit God. What in the world will that be like? Heirs of God. And where did we start? We started us just poor cursed sinners under the curse of a broken law. Then we saw ourselves redeemed in the Beloved. And all these blessings come into Him, come into us through Him. Bless His name. Bless His name.